I want to ask you a question before I start. How many of you have ever experienced that a while back, or even as part of your childhood, you've been through a difficult time or a traumatic time in your life, and even though it's 10 years later or 20 years later, it still feels as if you haven't fully recovered from that? Have you ever experienced anything like that? And just raise your hands. Okay, I've stories I can tell you, because you see, time does not heal. Time doesn't heal. Many people say time heals, but it's not the truth. Time alone does not heal. Time suppresses our emotions and our feelings, but time does not heal. And maybe you were in a situation as a child where your parents got divorced, and you still feel somehow deep inside that it's your fault. Or maybe you had an abusive dad, and you still feel angry towards him, or you still feel angry towards God, because you still didn't fully recover from that whatever happened between you and your dad. Your boyfriend broke up with you in high school, or your girlfriend, or maybe you weren't chosen for that school play, or that first rugby team, or that cricket team that you were hoping for, and you still now, as an adult, you experience that feeling of rejection. Or you were forever compared to your younger brother or sister, or you failed somewhere academically. For example, I failed my first board exam. I did my degree and I did my honors, and then I had to write two board exams. I failed the first one. It was a huge exam that I failed. And I didn't expect to fail. Nobody expected me to fail. So it was a huge shock to my system. I lost my confidence at work. I was always the one helping everybody else at varsity. And I was always the one encouraging everybody. And there I was the one who failed. And I lost my confidence. It was a big thing for me to work through at work. I felt as if I've been put in a box, because there's lots of pressure when you're doing your articles at an auditing firm to pass those exams. And I lost my confidence. And if I didn't know God, I don't know where I would have been today, because slowly but surely God helped me to get on my feet again. But maybe you were in a similar situation. You had somewhere a big failure, or you maybe just didn't meet your parents' expectations academically, or your teacher's expectation, and it's still haunting you. It's still as if, you know, as I said to Andrea, like a few years back, I must actually just enroll for some other course and just write an exam again and just convince myself that I can do it. I passed in the end. I passed all my board exams by the grace of God. But it's as if, you know, something in me got damaged because of that big failure. And I think sometimes, you know, we, as I say, years later, we haven't fully recovered from things that happened in our lives. And maybe you could just experience anger or frustration or depression, or things, that emotions that you don't even know where it comes from. You can't even pinpoint where it comes from, but it's there. And often these things stay under the surface until you get married. That's what I experienced. Because your spouse can actually trigger something, a certain behavior, or something that your spouse say to you can trigger something. And it can put you right back to that situation with your dad or your teacher or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Can put you right back into that situation, and you react out of hurt. So it's not really you. It's almost like you as a little 5-year-old reacting towards your spouse. And God wants us to be free from that. He wants us to be completely healed. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to walk in abundance and in wholeness. I don't know how many of you have attended your 10-year reunion at school. I know many of you are spring chickens still. Okay. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's 10-year reunion. But you know what I've noticed at my reunion? The people who walked the road with the Lord, they were very different to what I could remember them in matric. They were confident, they were secure, they were bold, they were just different people for the good. The ones that didn't know God, let me tell you, it was a shock to my system, but they were very much the same. Same old, same old. Anyone of you ever seen that? You know, or old friends, you see, because it's only in God. You see, sometimes people say when you have gray hair and you're 60 years old, you've gained wisdom. I know many 60-year-olds, in my opinion, who's a lot less wise than 25-year-olds who serve God. And God wants to bring us to a place of healing, you know. And it's just so evident for me, if you do not know God, we're going to remain the same for the rest of our lives. But often these things, we want to try and fix it in our own strength. We want to try and fix ourselves, or we use medication, which obviously sometimes can be a part of the solution. There's lots of doctors, so I need to make sure. But there's lots of things that God can use to bring us to wholeness. But ultimately, it's Jesus alone who can change us and fix us. So that is why I just want you to take the pressure off yourselves. Relax and just know that we can't change ourselves, but God can. God can, you see, and that is what this module is all about. I'm going to get into the notes and the scriptures now, but this is what this module is all about. We can't change ourselves. We can't change our best friend or our husband or our wife, but God can. God can. I mean, Andre and I are not the same people who got married 13 years ago. We're not the same people. And I mean, I've often said that to Andre, but, you know, for me, I can really look at him and say that he becomes more like Jesus every year. And, you know, if you're married to a guy, you know to a girl, you know each other, okay? You can't fake it at home. And when I look at my husband, I see him becoming more patient, more kind, more diligent, more faithful every year. And that is because he spends time with the Lord. And that is ultimately the secret to emotional wholeness and to security in ourselves, to spend time with the Lord. And I'm going to give you a few tools, and I'm going to give you a few guidelines that will facilitate inner healing. But ultimately, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. When we got married in the first few months, after the first few months, Andre said to me, "Sonika, you're trying too hard to be the perfect wife." And it was very, very hard for me to hear that. And yes, I was, because that was the one thing in my life that I decided I'm going to make a success of this. I wasn't prepared to ever get a divorce. I wasn't prepared to ever mess it up. But you see, I was trying so hard in my own strength that I wasn't fun to be with. I was just not fun to be with, because I was trying so hard to do everything right. And I said to God, "Lord, how am I now going to try not to try?" So again, just go into striving mode. And God said to me, "Let it go. You can't change yourself. Let it go and allow me to do it inside of you." And I learned such a valuable lesson that day, that sometimes we try so hard, and it's just hard work, and the fruit and the results is not really that good. Okay, so I'm just going to pray for us, and then we're going to get into the notes. Father, my prayer is that each and every precious person here tonight, God, that they will know that you have a plan for their lives, that you are calling them for more. You are calling them for greater heights. You are calling them, Lord, to live in a place of security, of boldness, of peace, of joy. And I just release that over them, God. Just a new faith and a new hope for their whole being, body, soul, and spirit, to be healed and to be whole and to walk in freedom. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's lots of scripture in this module. I'm not going to read every scripture. I'm not going to go through everything that's in the module. I'm going to highlight things, all right? So let's look at the first scripture, Luke 4, verse 18. And I want somebody to read it for me quickly. Anyone who would like to do that? Luke 4 verse 18, it's in your notes under the ministry of Christ. So
Luke 4 verse, this is very loud. Sorry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed.
Thank you. That portion that says He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, this is what this module is all about. So Jesus has come to do many things, but one thing that He has come to do is come to heal the brokenhearted. And we'll see more detail in Isaiah 61, verse 2 and 3. Straight after that, it says, He has come to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Most of you would be familiar with that scripture. Give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So those two scriptures are key for this specific module. And then when you look down further, where it talks about the great exchange is something that happens at the cross, where we come to Jesus with all our weaknesses, all our sins, all our battles, everything that is not perfect, and we exchange it for wholeness at the cross. It's literally as if we trade in everything inside of us that is not happy or peaceful. And God says, okay, instead of that, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you joy. Right? That is what the great exchange is all about. And one name of God is Jehovah Rapha. You'll see that also under the great exchange. It means physical, mental, and spiritual health. So Jehovah Rapha is far more than just emotional health, even though this is primarily what I'm going to talk about, but it also includes physical health. It also includes a full restoration of our body, soul, and our spirit. And often you would see that we sit with a physical problem, and sometimes it is physical, but sometimes the root or the cause of that could be trauma or something emotional. And then even depression sometimes could have an emotional or a traumatic root. And then, yes, there is a chemical imbalance. However, the chemical imbalance didn't just somehow get there. You know, it happened because of something in our soul that was traumatized. So even physical sicknesses could sometimes be the result of an emotional trauma or root. But it doesn't really matter, you know, in the end, whether physical sickness or emotional, where it comes from exactly and the root, it doesn't really matter. Sometimes God will show us, but sometimes God just heals us, all right? And sometimes we just need to trust Him and not dig too deep for what has happened. God is faithful to show us. So how does the broken heart manifest itself? Go to that part of the notes. Sometimes we think, we get so used to things in our lives that we think it's our personality. I want you to understand that, because sometimes we think, I would never be able to speak in front of people. I'm an introvert. I'm shy. I'm an introvert. You put yourself in that kind of a box and you say, I would never be able to do that. However, God has called all of us to be witnesses. And I'm not saying all of us must preach or teach. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if there's a moment in your life where God wants you to speak, but the moment comes and it goes, and the next one comes and goes, and you never, never have the guts to speak up and to say what God wants you to say, or just to speak your mind, just to tell the joke that you want to tell. If those moments pass and you in the end just say, it's my personality, I'm not like that, I'll never be able to do it, this is not God's will for your life. You know, I take it, some people are more outspoken, some people are more, you know, the center of a party. Some people are, we have different personalities. But when it comes to certain things in our lives, we so easily accept that I battle to sleep. Other people don't. They, you know, their head just touches the pillow and they fall asleep. I lie awake for 2 hours and then I fall asleep. So you tell yourself, this is me. This is me. I must live with it. I must accept it. I'm constantly tired, but this is me. All right? So the things I'm going to highlight now are all things that could be symptoms of a broken heart. It's not a personality trait. It could be symptoms of a broken heart. So overwhelming or out of the ordinary feelings could be anxiety. It could be fear. These are just examples. Okay, but it could be anxiety. You all have notes, eh? All right. Fear, anger, confusion, depression. Any one of those could be, it could be an overwhelming feeling that you just don't know how to cope with. And it could be a symptom of brokenness. Guilt. You wake up with guilt. You go to bed with guilt. You feel guilt. When nobody else feels guilty, you feel guilty. I'm a little bit like that. God has been doing lots in my life, but I sometimes feel I was born responsible, you know, which is not always so great. It's great in certain aspects of life, but it's really, really frustrating in other aspects of life. But you could, people like me, you know, when you're like that, you could very easily feel condemned, very easily feel guilty, be very hard on yourself. You know, if you make a mistake, you condemn yourself. You feel, how could I have made that mistake? And condemnation and guilt is not God's will for your life. It's not God's will. If you feel constantly condemned, constantly guilty, if the devil comes with constant reminders of things you've done wrong in the past and is accusing you and condemning you, it's not your personality. It's something that we need to deal with and we need to become free from. All right. And take it, yes, certain personalities are more prone to feeling guilty and condemned, you know, all the responsible people in our midst. But it doesn't mean that we should take on condemnation or guilt. All right. So it's tormenting and it's not God's will for your life. Bondages. Let me just explain a few bondages to you. A habit that could be a bondage is something, a habit that we can't just drop. We can't just drop it. We can't just change it in a week or two. Like biting your nails. You know, some people just say, I bite my nails. It's me. It's not God's will for you to bite your nails. All right? Smoking, eating disorders, any kind of habit you're into, and it doesn't matter how hard you try, you can't just drop it. That becomes a bondage, all right? So that could be something that's the result of a broken heart. Bondage that's in your family. There could be things that run in your family, like your dad had a heart attack, your grandfather had a heart attack, and now you, as a son, you're also scared that you're going to have a heart attack. That's a bondage that could be broken. And yes, I know there could be also physical things in your genes, and there's these things that can run in the family physically, but it's still not God's will for us to be under that kind of a yoke where it ran in the family and now you live in fear because it might happen to you as well. That's something in your family. It can become a bondage. Or even just a man who's getting married and he's too close to his mom and now he's comparing his wife big time to his mother, his perfect mother. My husband is not like that, by the way. But it can very easily happen if you're too close to your mom as a man, or the other way around as well, that you constantly compare your spouse to your mom or your dad. That could also be bondage. Surprise, surprise. It could put your marriage in danger because it can have a very negative effect on your marriage. So that's something that's also not God's will for us. Religion. Sometimes we have a very wrong impression of God because we grew up in a very strict church or strict environment or strict family. You know, my mom wanted us to wear dresses every Sunday. It was just non-negotiable for her. It was, God wants us to wear dresses on a Sunday. I couldn't figure that out, but that was her rule. So, and many other things, you know. My mom was very, she was sincere, but she was religious. So anything else is now sin. So you grow up with this feeling that God is, you know, you're hardly allowed to do anything because God is going to smack you. So that could also become bondage. Where we can have a spirit of religion, and where we strive and we try to work for our salvation, can be in, especially in our culture, where many of us come from a traditional background in terms of church, it can be a strong thing that the devil keeps against us to keep us from walking in the fullness that God has for us. Negative words, if there's any ever a negative word being spoken over your life, it can bring a lot of damage. There was a girl with me in high school. There was one guy one day who told her that she's fat. And she developed an eating disorder after that. And I don't have contact with her anymore, so I have no idea how it's going. But for years and years and years, she battled because of one comment. And I'm gonna explain to you how to deal with these kind of things, you know, that comes from other people. Were you the innocent party and the victim? I'm gonna explain to you how to deal with that. But negative words can have a huge impact. Inner vows, where you had naughty little brothers and you said to yourself, I'm never gonna have children. Or you just say, I'm never gonna get married. Never gonna get married. Or you say, you were embarrassed when you cried, maybe as a guy, as a little boy, or in high school, and you said, I will never cry again. So these kind of vows can create almost like a block inside, you know. And I know about somebody who somewhere in her life vowed that she's never going to have children, and she battled with miscarriages until she brought it before God. And he healed her, and they now have a beautiful baby. I mean, we sometimes underestimate what we say. Like, I'm never going to do that. I will never. And listen, God is faithful. Okay, so don't be scared to now, oh, I can't say anything because then there's going to be this bondage in my life. God is faithful. We just need to bring it before him. Okay, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to say the wrong things. But we need to be in a constant relationship with the Lord where he can show us how to deal with these things. Demonic influences, I'm not going to go into that, but obviously if you've been involved in any kind of demonic activity, that can also have a bring a huge bondage over your life. Limiting behavior patterns, it's typically where you will lock the door and you'll check it again, you'll check it a fourth time, just to make sure that the door is locked. It's not your personality. It's not natural to check a door four times. Okay? God wants to set you free from that. And don't feel guilty about anything. We all have something that we need to bring before the Lord. Physical problems. We can have migraines, for example. Migraines could be a symptom of a broken heart. Okay? It could be. There could be other reasons as well, or stomach ulcers, or something that you, any physical problem really could potentially be the result of trauma or a broken heart. So how do we receive healing? I'm going to go more in depth next week, but I just want to touch on three things. What often happens, we go into denial. So we pretend it does not exist. We pretend the issue is not there. So we work harder, we socialize harder, we party harder. We just go on with life and we pretend that it does not exist. And we won't ever be able to get healed by denying what we experience or what we see in ourselves. As I said, time is not going to heal our emotional wounds. And the solution when it comes to denial is We must actually admit. We must admit that there's a problem. We must admit that locking the door and checking it 5 times, it's not normal. We have to admit it instead of justifying it. You see, I'm just responsible and I'm just, you know, and my husband is not doing it. So I've heard women saying this to me. You know what, Sonika? I must lock the doors every night. And if I'm not going to do it, my husband is not going to do it. And, you know, and I've recently spoken to a woman, not in East London, somewhere else. And she was so upset because she said to me, she must do it. You know, and I just realized that this is, the whole thing is wrong. She's taking this huge responsibility upon her shoulders and she's checking everything. And God wants us to be free from fear. And we need to come to a point where we say this is not abundant life. It's not necessarily wrong. You're not doing anything wrong. It's just not freedom. There's not abundant life. We need to admit that we have a problem. And we need to humble ourselves and say we need prayer or we need help. Okay, so the solution for denial is admitting your problem and humbling yourself to get help. Scapegoating, we shift the blame. And this is a big, big, big thing. And I'll spend more time on this one next week. But it started already in the Garden of Eden where, you know the story, where Adam said, no, but God, it's this woman you've given me. This woman given me this piece of fruit. It's not an apple, by the way, okay? The Bible doesn't say anything about an apple, but it's always, in the pictures, it's always this red apple. It says fruit, but in any case. a little bit of solid theology there for you for tonight. And then Eve said, no, but it's the snake, the serpent, who you know, who said to me, I must pick the fruit and I must taste it. So it's something that's happened very, very early in creation, the whole thing of shifting the blame. Now, I want you to listen carefully now. Even if other people are responsible for emotional wounds, even if other people are responsible for emotional wounds, like an abusive dad, or like something that's been spoken over you, that you're a failure, or you're fat, or you are never going to make it. I mean, you were kind of the victim and the innocent party. Even if that is the case, we have to take responsibility for our pain. And this is crucial. This is, in a sense, what this whole module is all about, that even if there's somebody else responsible for our current emotional condition, we have to take responsibility for the pain, because shifting the blame is not going to lead to healing. It's going to make you feel better to a certain extent, because you're going to say, it's not my fault, you know, it's not my fault that I'm emotionally wounded. It's my teacher's fault, or my dad's, or my mom. The classic one is just, it's my husband's fault or my wife's fault. Get married and you'll see what I'm talking about. You know, it's classic not to take responsibility for your own, even if it's just 5%, or even if it's naught, to take responsibility for your pain and your situation. But it's very popular to shift the blame. And the solution when it comes to this is we need to forgive. We need to forgive. And I'm going to explain to you in detail next week how to do it, because it's a difficult part of emotional healing. But by God's grace, we can all come to that. We can all come to that. And we have to repent, so we need to forgive, and we need to repent of our part. Even if we just repent of a hardness of heart, or we repent of the denial part, or we repent of just shifting the blame, there's always something to say sorry about. Always. Say, God, this is my part in this whole thing. I bring it before you. I'm sorry, and I forgive. Even if it's you just start the process of forgiving. Escapism, also a big problem when it comes to emotional problems, is we try to escape. We fantasize. We watch television. We play games. We read books even. We daydream. We watch the one movie after the other because there's this something in us that we want to just keep in a space where I don't have to face reality. So instead of facing reality, you escape. You do whatever just to escape, even if it's for an hour or two or three, that you just escape completely. And there's a scripture in Luke 17 as part of escapism, if somebody can read that for me quickly. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. Anyone like to read that for me? Going. Do you want to nominate? Okay. You don't have to. Yeah. Okay, go for it. Amen. Thank you. This is so important because often we want our external circumstances to change. So we live from the outside in. If we wake up and we had a good night's rest and we go to work and everybody is friendly and there's not that much to do or a deadline tomorrow, we feel good about life. If it's the other way around and that we get criticized or people are ugly with us or we work hard and we're tired, our lives fall apart because we don't live from the outside, from the inside out. And this is crucial when it comes to being a whole person, because we can forever blame our circumstances. We can forever blame our boss, or our wife, or our husband, or our dad, or our mom, or our brother, or our sister, or our best friend. We can forever blame our circumstances or our job situation instead of saying, God, I read in your word that the kingdom of God is within me, which means that we need to live, that the kingdom within us is separate from anything that happens in the world. So it does not depend. It's untouchable in a sense. This is what the secret place talks about. You know, we often think Psalm 91 means nothing is ever going to go wrong. We often think Psalm 91 means nobody's going to break in ever. I'm not going to get sick ever. It's not what Psalm 91 is talking about. It explains a place in God, a secret place, where even if we get sick, where even if something bad happens, that the kingdom inside of us is so strong. The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen? So the peace we have, the joy we have, and the righteousness we experience inside, it's so strong, and there's such a foundation that even if something comes, even if there falls 1,000 outside and 10,000 at our right hand, it will not touch us. Why? Not because we are untouchable. Because in the inside, we are untouchable. So even if something happens, if something bad happens, like Andre said, God is still good because we live from the inside out. And this is key. Andre and I often ask, we ask each other, how's your kingdom doing? How's your internal peace? Because if we have peace, if we have joy, if we are in right standing with God, we can handle many things. If it's not there, then the cares of this life will overtake us. But we have to live from the inside out. The kingdom of God is within you. And this is why we have to spend time in the secret place. We have to spend time in God's feet. You know, we have this one son, which I've told you about. We've been trying for another child for more than 4 years now. Long time, most of you know about it. I never thought I would battle to have kids. I have four siblings. My sister has three kids. It all just happened like that for my mom and my sister. So it was the one thing in my life I never thought I would battle with. But now we do. And it's not like a long-term expectation where you think, okay, one day I'm going to get breakthrough, maybe. It's like a monthly expectation and a monthly disappointment that you need to deal with. If there's any woman who's ever been battling to have a kid, you all know what I'm talking about. And we see so much purpose in that, and I can speak lots about it. But what I wanna share with you is every month I go to the Lord. Sometimes it's easier for me, sometimes it's more difficult for me. And I know some of you are not even married, so it's very far away from your world. But I go to God and I say to Him, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to recover this month. I honestly don't know how I'm now going to work through it again. And how I'm going to trust You again. I mean, there was a stage where I said to Andre, I am not finished with this baby thing. I can't try anymore. I can't hope anymore. I can't. It's just, I can't put myself every time in that position where I believe, where I hope, and then it's not happening again. So, you see, it's 4 times 12, 48 months every time I need to deal with this. And you know what God started doing in me, which is what I just want to share it with you, because for me, it's in a sense this module summed up in my own life. He took me to Psalm 23, where it says, He leads me beside the still waters. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And every time when, you know, sometimes I think God is not going to be able to get it right again. He's not going to be able to restore my soul again. And then He does. And I literally experience it as if God takes me, you know, as a surgeon, and he does surgery on my heart, and He says, I'm going to fix it for you. I'm going to fix the feelings, the disappointment, the whatever you feel, I'm going to fix it for you. And I'm there, I'm in it. And that's what He does. But I think sometimes we, for too long, we try to fix these things in our own strength, or for too long we ignore it, or for too long we just don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to recover from something that happened when you were 8 years old. You don't know. And I've just seen that taking it to God where you know, if something happens now, taking it to God immediately, just saying, Lord, This is what happened. God, I'm broken. I don't know how I'm going to recover. Allow God to restore your soul. Allow Him. Because He's able. I'm a living testimony of somebody who can say that I'm not bitter towards the Lord. I'm not freaked out. It's hard for me. It's not easy. I cry a lot. But I know that God is good, and I know that He's faithful, and I know that He has a plan. And I with all my heart, I believe that I'm going to stand before You, and I'm going to, when I'm pregnant, I'm going to take a big, I'm going to go to the gynae, and then we're going to have a video camera, and we're going to take a photo of the heartbeat, and I'm going to play it in church. Okay, you're my witnesses. And I trust, I haven't given up hope, because I have so many prophecies. And testimonies. Oh, not testimonies, sorry. Prophecies. I mean, prophecies and scripture and things. And I just want to encourage you that even in the midst of trauma that you are in, or something that hasn't been resolved yet, or you're not there, you know, where you have met your husband and you've been standing in faith for a long time, or you're not there where you have your breakthrough yet. Don't give up hope, because God is there. He's right there. He can, in a moment, give it to you. In a moment, He can bring healing. He can sort out your sleeping patterns. He can heal you from depression. He can restore you. He can give you boldness to do what you've never done before. Amen? So just know that God is good and that He is faithful and that He is in your boat. He's in your boat. He's there. He's right there. Okay, so I'm going to end here. And before I pray, I'm going to give you two assignments for this week. Okay, it's not major, so don't stress. I want to ask you to, when you spend time with the Lord, to ask Him to show you any unforgiveness in your heart. Anything that you hold against a person, and sometimes we really honestly think there's nothing. Until you realize you actually battle to bless somebody. If you must now have a chat. I'm not saying that, you know, you must be best friends with a person who persecuted you. I'm not saying that. But ask the Lord to show you if there's anything in your heart against somebody that is not yet resolved. You still walk with unforgiveness. He will show you. Don't now try and find something. Okay, if it's not there, it's not there. Don't. God will show you. And then the second thing, I want you to have two worship sessions with the Lord, two half an hour worship sessions. You can put on a CD. If you can play an instrument, you're welcome to do it. We often just worship with a CD. Walk up and down in the room, close the doors, just worship God. But I want you to have two half an hour sessions with the Lord. Would you be able to do that? Can you fit it in? Okay, you have to schedule it though in your diary. Don't think it's just going to automatically jump in your diary. You have to put it in there and you have to stick to that time because you might get to Monday and it didn't happen. Okay, I'm going to ask you next week, did you do it? So just spend time in worship and ask the Lord to, if there's any emotional healing that should take place, that He must start the process. Don't you now try and sort out yourself. God is going to do it for us. But just say, Lord, start the process and just worship Him for who He is. He's faithful. He's good. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Worship Him for who He is. And worship Him for what He has done in your life in the past. And just worship Him for His goodness and His faithfulness. Okay, and then just ask Him to show you any unforgiveness in your life.